One more welcome, and then we'll get stuck into our conversation. And that is everybody watching via live stream from around the world. Would you please welcome our online church watching right now? Our journey. But today, a new normal. I thought it would be a good start for us at the beginning of the year to reprogram some of our mind and our heart and our soul towards what's normal and new and fresh in our lives. Have you noticed that it's easy to make a commitment to something new, but that after a little while, there's a human tendency to go back to an old habit? How many of you have noticed that it's January 13th already, and some of the old habits have called your name? How many of you have noticed that? I did a commitment to clean eating. I was going to eat salads every day for the month of January. And then after a while, I thought, well, salad and maybe just smoked chicken. And then salad and smoked chicken and something. And the and, it's the and that gets you. It's the and that gets you. The something afterwards. Have you also noticed that sometimes you make a commitment that you're going to get rid of certain things or delete certain things or, I don't know, get rid of some friends. Don't do that. But it's not long. And for some reason, the pattern comes back. And in some of the saddest cases, you might have even broken up with someone and said to yourself, they're bad for me, and I don't want to have anything to do with them ever again. And 4 or 5 days later, your heart is confused, and some people feel that bad company is better than no company at all. Now, some people are like that. Bad company, they think, is better than no company at all. And I want to talk to you a little bit about how that potentially works. I love this verse in Numbers chapter 4. It's from the Message. I have several Message translation scriptures today, and then one or two pointers from the NIV. So Nehemiah 4, the book of Nehemiah is about building things that are broken, repairing a wall. It's the story of a wall and fixing things. And this is what it says. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he exploded in anger, vilifying the Jews. In the company of Samaritan cronies and military, he let loose. What are these miserable Jews doing? Do they think they can get everything back to normal overnight? Make building stones out of make-believe. The power of that verse is to say, some people will always think that something can't go back to normal, be fixed, or be better than it ever was before. And that voice will always come in our hearing and in our ears, that things get worse rather than better. But in the Bible, things get better and better, not worse and worse. It is not biblical to say it'll never be the same again. It's not biblical to say if you've had a fight in a relationship or you've had a loss in a business or you've had a glitch in your spiritual journey, it's not biblical to say it'll never be the same again. It's biblical to say it's going to get better and better. And it's biblical to say that overnight, things can go back to the God normal that He had in mind for your life. See, if we don't believe that, we give ourselves permission to fail rather than permission to faith. If you keep... Clappable moment. Thank you so much. I need to open this. I'm feeling the warmth in this auditorium right now. It's the fire of your worship lingering in the house of the Lord. Amen. So it's dangerous to presume an ever deteriorating, even physically. I know people say, well, you know, this old tent is dying, but inwardly we are made new every day. It's true. Your body is changing. Your body is changing. But the wisdom of God and the strength of God is increasing. Not everything is a graph downhill. The Bible says God is a restorer and builds things upward. It's a mindset and a value and a belief we've got to get right. I want to tell you concerning your children. If they've misstepped, tripped over something, or fallen into a ditch, never say things will never be the same again. Never say that, because the Bible says He is a restorer and a renewer of all things. God makes all things new. Not like new. God is not a Gumtree ad. Bring your life and we'll make it like new. You know, like new means close enough, but not quite right. But the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. It's the simplest of scriptures, but the most powerful. God makes things new. And some people have given up on their marriages or their business idea or given up on church because something along the way didn't work out and you thought it's never going to be the same again. I'm telling you, that is a lie from the devil. It needs to be pulled out and pulled apart and thrown away. It's deceptive to assume that you're going to run away from things looking for a happy future. You can stand where you are and be blessed by God. Stand where you are, having done all to stand. Do not be easily moved by missteps, failures, and sins. Be moved instead by the hand of God. Can you say amen to that? And today, I want to talk to you a little bit about what I've titled as my first message on this conversation. I've titled it, Displacement. To shift something out of the way so that something new can be in the center. Displacement. I'd like to read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 1. It says this. Then when we turned back and set out towards the wilderness, God is talking about the children of Israel making progress in life along the route to the Red Sea, as the Lord had directed me. For a long time, we made our way around the hill country of Seir. When the Lord said to me, you have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north. This scripture says, there is a time in your life when you move away from the cycle of one season and start to trust God for the cycles of a new season. I don't know if you've ever felt like I've walked around this thing long enough. God spoke to the children of Israel and said, you crossed the Red Sea, that's good progress, but you never made any more progress. And I've got a better plan for you than just hanging around, repeating the same prayers, going through the same conflicts. Some of you have had the same fights in your marriage for 10 years. You can actually play each other's parts. I mean, you know what's coming next. Us children used to do that with our parents. When my father started a certain speech, I knew where it was going to go. How many of you know what I'm talking about? He'd always tell me, as he got older, some of his facts sort of stretched a bit, I felt. You know, in the early days, you'd say, I don't know why you're complaining that you're here working in the businesses at your age. At your age, when I was your age. And here comes the stretch. We used to walk barefoot through landmine-infested fields. For lunch, we had a tomato and an old piece of bread. And we would walk through the fields. We would go, and I was 11. Dad, when you first told that story, you were 16. You walked a kilometer, and you had a good lunch. But as the years go by, he deleted some of the facts and stretched it a little further. You know, it's an interesting dynamic that we can constantly assume that things are getting worse rather than better. And here the Bible verse says, stop going through the same cycle over and over. When my dad used to start those stories, my brothers used to stand behind him and mouth the words because we knew what was coming next. One of the favorite statements he would say is, everything I did, I did. Why did I get up every day at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to work 365 days a year, 24? So why did I do it? I did it for. Somewhere deep in our hearts, we're like, but you made us. We didn't vote. We came, yeah, here we are. And as funny as that is, you've got certain internal talk and you've got certain arguments. You can't break free from them. They're the same arguments. They're internal arguments. You can mouth the words without even having to apply your mind because you've been walking around the same mountain, crossed over the Red Sea, saved, but stuck. saved but stuck. And God has a better story for your life than saved but stuck. I know I'm going to say something a little dangerous now. Don't quote me on this, but I don't want you to be born again and stuck in your marriage. Don't look at your spouse and say, I'm stuck with you. That's not what I mean. But stuck. You've got the same dilemma. When the in-laws visit, the family falls apart. Or when... I'm just going to pause for effect here because we've just experienced Christmas together. And many of you, your greatest Christmas present is your own house when everybody is gone. A lot of issues coming out here today. We're cleaning wounds. We're fixing things. We're preparing things. You know the stories. They're the same old stories. This is the conversation that God is talking to the children of Israel and saying, come on, get unstuck from that thing that is attracting or pulling you to it. I want to talk to you today about the idea of an internal gravitational pull. An internal gravitational pull. Gravity is defined as a pull of the earth. There it is. A pull of the earth is the attraction that the earth exerts on an object or that that object exerts on the earth. I'm highlighting the word attraction. That although we might have a will for something, we have an internal attraction. Now, it's not. This is not a relationship conversation because some of you know that if you walk past a Lindt chocolate, there is a gravitational pull that will make you bypass the facts that you had chocolate yesterday. It will make you bypass the fact that you are perhaps a little overstocked. Sick word there. You're overstocked physically. Oh, Lord, what have I done? You're not going to come back, are you? Please come back. You know certain facts, but how many of you know that that gravitational pull can change the facts in your head? You'll start saying, but it's Lindt. Lindt is good for you. The fact that it's only the 90% Lindt chocolate that tastes like the bitter vinegar of a tough life that is good for you. The rest is just sugar. And now Lindt people are here and they're going to email me. Remember, all emails of complaint go to Vince at... You could change the facts. I've done that to myself. I've been on the treadmill. And I've seen... I now no longer run on a treadmill if I can see Kauai. Because while I'm running, the gravitational pull is working. I need to get a healthy shake. I need to get it, not the kind of shake you get after training. I need a shake you can drink. I need a shake. I go there and I get the healthiest one they've got, that Cinnabon flavored. I'm joking. I'm smart enough to know that's not healthy, but not smart enough to do anything about it. Like. Gravitational pull is an internal attraction. So some people are attracted to a tough life. Attracted to it. As soon as things go good, they mess it up. They're just comfortable with that. Some people are attracted to a relationship that is more like a war zone. They stay there. They're comfortable with it. Because any other person would take one look at that relationship and go, "Nah, look here." Amen. They'd move away. But some people are just attracted. There's an internal attraction. Some people have an internal attraction to self-destruction. Constantly speaking negatively, nobody can say anything positive to you because even if they did, you'd turn it around. If someone says to you, "You're looking good today," you walk away going, "They must think I didn't look good any other day." How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean. That's the internal attraction to a destructive point. Some people have an attraction to a previous life. They're living a life now. They're married, but they have an attraction to their single behaviors. some people have an attraction to just never having money. No. Stay with me. I know some of you said, he's lying now. I know people, you can give them R1 million on Monday. And by next Monday, without tithing, I don't want you to blame church. They got no money. They're borrowing. Because they don't know how to be comfortable with I'm blessed and I'm managing my blessing well. I'm managing my blessing well. They'll take that R1 million and borrow against a bad idea another R4 million. And by the end of the week, they owe someone R5 million. And they've involved their father-in-law, 3 brothers, a neighbor, and a guy on the street they walked past that they thought Jesus told them to use. It's an internal attraction. But here's the thing that's remarkable. If you'll put your life in God's hand, God will be the internal attraction that governs all the decisions in your life. My best life is that I'm attracted to the righteous life that God has called me to, and nothing else looks as good or captures my attention. There's no gravitational pull for me to live a different kind of life. I am orbited around the sun. Some people are orbited around their hurt. So they make everybody around them pay the price. Some people are orbited around their need. I don't have that. I need this. I need that. Every conversation, they bring it up. Every conversation, they bring it up. You know when you're attracted to something, you bring it up. If you're attracted to a person, you keep talking about them. Often not to them. Often they don't even know. But you're got an attraction. If you're attracted to something, cycling, you bring it up. We could be talking about tornadoes, and you'll tell me about the day you cycled through one. Do you see what I mean? You bring it up. If you've got a gravitational pull towards a central point, it governs your life. What if that gravitational pull were biblical, spiritual, and healthy, and it governs everything? That is the new normal. The new normal is to say, the old gravitational pull that centered my life is switched off, and I have a new attraction, and that attraction is my life under the rulership of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible words it like this: earnestly desire spiritual milk, that by it you may grow. But what happens if your desire isn't there? How do you create good, healthy desire and get rid of bad desire? Not bad as in, I'm talking to you about sin and then sin gets you to, you know, I'm not sure about that. You know, the greatest punishment of sin is not actually hell, because Jesus deals with heaven and hell. The greatest punishment of sin is the loss of the life you could have had in exchange for the life you settled for. That's the greatest price you pay. God had in mind a righteous marriage. God had in mind a perfect person. God had in mind a perfect outcome. But along the way, you took so many detours that you arrived scarred. I remind you of Nehemiah. Overnight, he can make it normal again. I mean, that's just, you have to start there and you have to end there. Philippians 4 from the Message. I have 8 minutes, everybody, and I'm going to do it. I'm so excited because we're going to have 2 services soon and I can't commit the sin of overspeaking. Philippians 4 from the Message says, don't worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worry into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, don't say, you'll do better by filling your... I'd say you'd do better by filling your mind and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise and things, and not things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me and what you've heard and saw and realized. To use the NIV, a verse most people know well, it says this: do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Replace one kind of thinking for a better kind of thinking. Be attracted to a better kind of life. How do you change the gravitational pull in the center of your life? Number one, you have to pray before you gossip. It's always helpful to pray, but to pray after you've gossiped is destructive. It says, don't talk about it to someone else. Just talk about it to God. It'll change the gravitational pull in your life. Let me tell you why. When you tell other people, they add their voice of agreement. And the gravitational pull becomes stronger. If you say to someone, you know, my wife is inconsiderate. They might say, do you know I've noticed that about her? And your gravitational pull now becomes stronger. A righteous friend would say, I really don't think you should be talking about this with me. I think you should chat to your wife and the two of you should go before God. And be careful with agreeing with someone, because tomorrow they fix their problem. And he says to her, you won't believe your friend Susan. She told me the other day that you are an inconsiderate person. And suddenly Susan's in big trouble and has two enemies now, the husband and the wife. Every time people agree, the gravitational pull about this country, when people sit around and say, this country's going to the dogs, this country's full of pot, and one more person agrees, and another person agrees. You're activating the power of agreement, but in an ungodly way, and the gravitational pull is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You're going to trip over a paving stone because you can't walk straight, but you're going to say, this country. Because the gravitational pull is now so strong, it'll suck up everything. It'll suck up your kids. It'll suck up your mindset, your business ideas. Everything will get sucked into a gravitational pull that is not godly. But God can turn it around. You can use it for your benefit. Let him be the gravitational pull. In the same room, there's one group of people at some stage, they'll go, this church is amazing. And they'll talk to someone and they'll say, God changed my life through that church. And the gravitational pull gets stronger. Someone else might be sitting there going, I didn't get the seat I'd hoped for, the one I always sit at, or I was treated rudely by the coffee shop people, or I didn't feel like the parking people were considerate, or why did they block the garage across the way? It's because the garage gets their petrol on Sundays now. And I'm not sure what's going on there. And they tell two other people and they also didn't get to park there, and a new gravitational pull starts. And can I advise you, if you see friends going through that, you halt it. And you say, this is not a righteous attraction. It's not righteous. And I'll add one more thing since I'm saying attraction. It's not attractive to have a negative gravitational pull. It's not attractive. People don't want to hang around with you. People don't want to engage with it. Like attracts like, so you get a whole lot of crows together pulling something apart. Oh, dear Lord. There's a reason why a group of crows together is called a murder of crows. For some reason, they seem to be hovering around the Mount Road area. I rebuke them in Jesus' name every day. I do. Some mornings, some afternoons, I see that there's like a house down the road from me, 50 crows. I'm like, dear Jesus, I don't know what's going on in that house. But I am praying in Jesus' name. They say crows are clever. I don't want to find out. Firstly, prayer. Secondly, you change the gravitational pull by presenting your requests to God, not demanding like a child in a tantrum. I'm just looking down. I think sometimes people talk to God in a ruder way than they would talk to their father or mother. Have you ever with your families, your dad or your mom or someone, and you said something and then they said, "Don't talk to me like that." Sometimes that's what this present means. It goes before God and goes, "Lord, this is my situation. I trust you." Not, "Lord, why is this my situation?" Present is different. It changes the gravitational pull inside. I then say, "Lord, I present the situation. Whatever the outcome is, I trust you." And you don't fall into a negative gravitational pull internally. Thirdly, the Bible says he will give us peace, which will guard our hearts and minds. Here's what it means. It means when I get into a good place with God, I protect it. And I won't let anything take the peace away that's in my life. Even if that thing looks shiny, looks good, attractive, expensive, a possibility for a good financial future, if it touches the peace of God in my heart, I'm going to say no thanks. Because it could become a new gravitational pull in my life. Do you know that there are Christians who have been blessed by God with something and they forget God and get gravitationally pulled to the blessing? And that's a dangerous thing because it messes with your peace. I mean, you're saved. We crossed the Red Sea right at the beginning of this message. But the gravitational pull is powerful, isn't it? And one has to be wise about it. And then finally, things that are praiseworthy. I mean, I don't think we should get over the top about this, you know? I don't think we should roam around falsely sort of speaking Christianese. You know what I mean. How are you today? I just sense the anointing of the Lord on my every step. The paving behind me is clean after I walk on it. Let's just dial it down. We don't believe you. But things that are praiseworthy. If you want to build a biblical gravitational pull in your life, you say trustworthy, praiseworthy, pure, righteous, holy, and good things. You speak it up. And it builds an attraction. By the way, that kind of person will find the best friends that they'd always hoped for because the gravitational pull of God in your life pulls the right kinds of people close. They find the right business partners. They find the right decision-making because they're in this vortex of God's biblical way of doing things. I want to encourage you. Displace unrighteous thinking for a better believing. And let God be the earnest desire of your heart so that the gravitational pull is biblical and nothing else can exert that kind of force on your life. And let him work out the rest of the journey step by step with you. Amen. Would you please stand with me as we pray? Please don't rush out at this moment. You're here now. And the coffee shop's getting ready for you and the visitor's guest lounge is getting ready for you. You should pop in if for no other reason to get a voucher and grab a free coffee. If you're visiting, of course. There are people up front coming up in a minute. They're going to pray for you if you'd like a personal prayer. There's communion on either side of the stage every week. And there's a prayer wall where you fill in a card and put it in the wall, much like the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, I guess. And we pray over it as a staff and as a church, and we trust God together with you. Oh, I'd be in big trouble if I didn't mention this. Activation card. We're believing God together for another 300 or 400 people to sign up and say, "I'm going to make this church work in a great way in 2019, and it's going to skill me, improve me, grow me, connect me with people in the church, and I'll find my small church within the big church." You should think about this. You're one of the big five. And Don't think so long that your pen freezes. Think about it, pray about it, sign up. You got the rest of the month, but do it today. And hand this in at the info zones on the way out. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your spirit. We thank you that overnight you can turn things around. We thank you that when there is one kind of attraction in our lives, you replace it with a new desire or attraction. That we would earnestly desire spiritual food so that by it we might grow. In 2019, we declare that the attractions in our life will be God-honoring, will be trustworthy, will be encouraging, will be uplifting, and will be positive. We declare that we will reject every vortex that pulls us into destructive, self-destructive, negative, or unholy thinking. And we pray, Father, that you will establish the peace of God in our lives. While we're in this moment of worship, and there are so many here I don't know, it would be out of place for me if I didn't give you a moment to get your relationship right with God as a good starting point in our new year. If you're here today and you've just been an observer or a guest, or you're here today and you were once on the straight and narrow, but you kind of lost your way, I want to tell you, God doesn't have an obstacle course for you to come back to home. He is ready to turn things around in a moment. And I wondered if I could invite you to take an active step today. You know you're here by divine appointment, not coincidence. And God has been talking to you from the singing, the parking lot, the coffee, the singing, and the message. Take a step. Meet him halfway, not even halfway, one step away. I'd love to be able to pray with you. So here's what I'd like us to do. It. If you're in that place, I just need you to raise your hand long enough for me to see it and say, yeah, I got to make a move. This is my spiritual move step today. And do it long enough for me to see it. And then you can put your hand down again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. All the way up the seating, terraced seating to the back and over there, close to entrance two. I see you there and over there. Hey, church, so many people. Here's what I'd like you to do. Come grab a free Bible if you don't have one and you put your hand up. But either way, consider just coming and giving us your details. I'd like you to attend a free foundations course. Just the basic, how do I get my faith going? We have a couple who teaches it every month and you will love it. You will be equipped to pray properly and read a Bible and all the basics. We would love for you to give us your info at that counter that says Bibles. But let's pray this prayer out loud together. Whole church, would you open your eyes for a moment and let's start the year right. Let's pray this prayer together and get everybody who put their hand up on the right spiritual journey. It comes from Romans 10, 9 and 10. Let's pray it out loud together on the count of three. One, two, three. Lord God, the Bible says, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I believe and I confess that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Would you give God a shout of praise and thanksgiving for every person who did that? Thank you so much for spending the morning with us.